And I really appreciate Dale filling in literally last minute's notice, because I didn't know, I didn't know that was going to overtake me the way it did. I've had bronchitis for the last couple of weeks. That's why I wasn't able to be here. It's great to know that we have folks that can fill in and take care of those things, and I certainly do appreciate Dale doing that and Ray filling in and teaching the Bible classes for me. But it's great to feel so much better. Amen? And I do appreciate all your prayers on my behalf of that. We are beginning not as much, and really kind of I'm 2 weeks behind, okay, because I hadn't been able to be here beginning of the year. I planned this lesson to kind of introduce not just a new series of lessons, but we're going to be focusing on this idea, living for Jesus, more as a focus of what we want to try to do more and more throughout this whole year in our lives. And really, so that's kind of like a theme for us that we want to focus on, not just the title or the theme of these lessons. So that's what we're going to be doing, is focusing on how can we be more and more living for Jesus. Now, before we begin our lesson today, Brian, we're still on for 5 o'clock. This movie, The War Room, is going to be shown right here in the auditorium, 5 o'clock. Don't worry about the snow out there. It's not sticking to the roads. The roads are too warm, so don't worry about that. You don't want to miss this movie. If you have not seen it yet, I really, really want to encourage you to come and see it. I'll just kind of give you this as a little teaser. We are already in the process. I started cleaning out that room that's in the back of the fellowship hall that we had. You know, we're using to store some BBS stuff, but over the years it has just become an accumulated place of junk. Okay? And I've cleaned out a lot of that stuff out of there, and we are turning that room into our church war room. Okay, so I really want to encourage you to come this afternoon, 5 o'clock, and see this movie. You will be glad that you did. It will really help your perspective on prayer tremendously. So really want to just can't say enough about that. So 5 o'clock, we'll be showing that movie here. Okay, now. We're talking about living for Jesus. One of the things that we really need to understand in order to really focus on this topic is that the world is in a mess right now. Okay? The world is full of corruption, and it's full of all kinds of garbage and sin that folks are involved in. And this is the path, in a sense, that the world is going in. Okay, if you want to be part of the world, this is the way it's going, through all this kind of sin and corruption and evil and so forth. But here's a problem that we're facing. Christianity, in this world of corruption and sin, is quickly losing its influence. I don't know how many of you heard about these folks. This is the Klein family. They had a bakery, and this was out in, I think it was in Seattle, I'm not 100% sure, I can't remember, but they had a bakery called Sweet Cakes by Melissa. They recently have been told by the government out there that they need to pay, I think it's $150,000 in fines, because they refused to bake a cake for a gay marriage. Okay, wait. There was just last week in the news, I think it was Thursday or Friday, there's a farm up in New York somewhere, up in the Northeast somewhere, same problem. They refused, they do weddings there, and they had a couple that came and said, hey, we want to have a lesbian wedding here, and they said, no, we don't do that here, and they have been fined, I think, $36,000 because they refused them that service. This headline was in the news yesterday. The U.S. Episcopal Church has been punished by the global body for accepting gay marriage. And this is a rift that's going on in what is referred to as the Anglican Church, the Worldwide Anglican Church, okay, which is the third largest body denomination of Christians in the world. Okay? And basically what's happening, the Episcopal Church is the U.S. branch of the Anglican Church. And they had this meeting last week, and basically the main body has said, look, they're basically sanctioning the Episcopal Church here in America over the issue of gay marriage. It's over because the main body is saying, well, let me share with you what they say. Here's a quote from the article here. The leaders called the Episcopal Church approval of gay marriage, quote, a fundamental departure from the faith and teaching of the majority of Anglicans. So there's a battle that's going on even within the broad spectrum of Christianity, okay, if you allow me to use it, you know what I mean by that, a battle that is going on over are we going to go the way of the world or are we going to go the way of God? And that's the situation that we have that's going on. And many Christians are not much different in the way they're living their lives and the choices they're making and the decisions that they're making. They're not much different from the way the world is. There are too many Christians, people out here that are claiming to be Christians that really want to kind of live Christianity this way. They want Christianity light. Okay? Basically, this idea of, like it says on here, more of me and less of God. You know, that I want to kind of dip my toes in the water, so to speak, of Christianity, but I don't want to get too serious about this stuff. And especially when it comes to things that are interrupting what I want to do in my life. Okay? So they basically would have this kind of philosophy about the Bible. I don't always read the Bible, but when I do, I only read the parts I like. Well, that's real convenient, isn't it? You see? Because then people can pick and choose the parts that they like about the Bible, and they can use those, but the parts that they don't like, and usually the parts that we don't like are what? They're the parts that tend to interfere with what we want to do. I mean, let's be honest. There are things in the Bible that I know when I read about, and I go, why did he have to put that in there? You know? There are some things in there, honestly, that are difficult to live by. But we need to make a choice. Are we going to do what we want to do, or are we going to do what God wants us to do, even when what he tells us to do is tough? It's a choice that we have to make. You see? And the right choice is not to pick and choose the parts that we want to obey and throw out the rest. Because that will lead us nowhere. And so what's happening as a result of the way that things are going in the world and Christians that are kind of following the ways of the world is that the Bible is being watered down. Okay? And many people are being taught a scripture that is not really the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. See? So there is a danger that is confronting Christians today, and that danger is worldliness. And we really need to understand that danger, and we need to make some choices and some decisions in our lives, because this is a very, very real and present danger for us. You see, the world basically is dysfunctional. I mean, think about it. It is dysfunctional. In fact, it is so dysfunctional. What we've got to decide is, how are we as God's people going to live in a dysfunctional world? You see? We've got to make that choice. We've got to make choices as to how we're going to respond and react to the dysfunctional world we live in. Because here's the world's perspective. Dysfunctional is the new functional. Okay? In other words, the things that I mean, I think about just in my lifetime, the things that I never would have imagined, even 5 years ago, I never would have imagined that some of the decisions that are being made today would be forced upon us, like this whole gay marriage issue. In my wildest dreams, I never would have imagined that would be the law of the land, and you and I would be forced to accept it by our government. But now, if you say something against it, you see, then you're the one who is bad. That's the way the world has become so dysfunctional, but looks at that as being normal. And that's the world that you and I are living in present time. Here's a choice we need to make. Are we going to blend in with the world, or are you going to stand out? What are you willing to do? Okay. What do you want to do? Do you want to just kind of fit in? Do you want to take the easy road? Do you want to fit in and blend in so that you don't lose your friends, you don't lose your job, your family doesn't, you know, kind of decide they don't want to have anything to do with you anymore, you know, your neighbors don't want to talk to you. Are you willing to risk that? Or do you want to just kind of blend in so that you don't have to worry about any of those things? Are you willing to be different from the world? That's a very real choice that we as God's people have to make in our lives. You see, Jesus told us that we are to be the light of the world. The problem, I think, is that there are too many Christians who are wanting to put their light under a bushel basket. They want to have the light, and they want it to glow a little bit, but just not too brightly. So if I just kind of cover it up a little bit, then I still have the light, but not everybody's going to be able to see it. But that's not what Jesus said, is it? A city on a hill cannot be hidden, he said. And neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they do what with it? They put it on a stand where it gives light to all who are in the house. In the same way, he said, let your light shine before men so that they will see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You see, that involves a choice, doesn't it? A choice that you and I have to make every day as to whether we're going to let the light shine or are we going to try to cover it up a little bit. It's a choice of which road we want to take. You see, eternity, where we spend eternity, really is a matter of choices. And Jesus calls upon us to enter the narrow gate. Because he says the broad gate is a road that leads to destruction. And that's the road, by the way, he says, that most people are going to find. So if you want to follow the majority, then that's the direction the majority is going to be going. But he says, small is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life. And few people will find that. It's a choice that you and I have to make in the world that we are living in. Whether we're going to follow the path of least resistance, the path where the crowd is following, or are we going to follow the path that leads to life? It's a choice that we have to make. And so what we're going to be focusing on is, how do we as God's people, how can we live godly lives in this ungodly world that we live in? And we were talking about that some in our study this morning in Hebrews, and realizing how relevant the book of Hebrews is to us, that the things that we struggle with in our lives today aren't really much different than first century Christians. Say, but really it all comes back down to that one issue. It's the choices that you and I make in our lives day in and day out. And so it's a matter of living, recognizing the world that we live in, and seeing how can we as God's people live in this world. Here's some things we've got to consider as we try to do that. How does what we do affect other people? Okay? In other words, the choices that you make in your life each day, how do they affect other people in your life? People in your family, for instance. The choices you make every day affect other people. How do they affect your family members? How do they affect your neighbors? Or how about the other folks that you go to school with, those of you who are in school? How do the choices that you make affect them? Or what about the people on your job? How do the choices that you make affect them? There's some important questions that I really want to encourage you to think about. But here's another question that's really important. How does what we do affect ourselves? See? We make decisions and we do things that have a certain effect. But here's the most important part of this. The choices that we make and the things that we do affect us and affect other people, but they affect us mostly, not just in this life, but they affect us for all eternity. You see, again, eternal life really is a matter of choice. It's not a matter of chance. Everybody has the same chance of salvation. But not everybody makes the right choice. But the choices that we make affect others and they affect us. And unless we're aware of that, we're going to go on making some choices that are not going to be good for us and they're not going to be good for other people. So we need to be focusing on living our lives for Jesus. It's holy living in an unholy world. How do we make that happen? Okay? Well, remember in our previous studies, we were talking about heaven, the study we just finished up. We were talking about this whole idea of heaven someday, that we all want to go to heaven, right? That's the goal that most people have. If you go out and you interview people, I've never talked to anybody yet who's told me they want to go to hell. Okay? I've never had anybody tell me that. You see? I've talked to a lot of people who say, yeah, I want to go to heaven. They don't have a clue as to how they're going to get there, but they expect that that's what's going to happen. You see? And most of them simply because they believe in God. And we want to go to heaven, so we try to live our lives so that when we die, that's where we go, right? I mean, that's basically the idea. Kenny Chesney has a song out called this, "Everybody Wants to Go to Heaven, but Nobody Wants to Die." In other words, it's the idea that says, look, we want to enjoy life in this world and all that the world has to offer, and then at the end, we want to be able to go to heaven. The problem is it doesn't work that way. Again, we have choices that we have to make. John tells us not to love the world. Okay? In fact, here's what he says. Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the Father's love isn't in him. We've got to make a choice as to which one is going to get our love, either the world or the Father. Which is it going to be? He goes on further. Middle of this slide here. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. That's where that stuff comes from. That's all that corruption and sin that we talked about a moment ago. But look at what he says as he continues here. What's happening? The world is passing away. Okay? And also, it's lust, but the one who does the will of God gets to do what? Lives forever. But you see, that involves choices that we have to make, doesn't it? Okay? It's not just an automatic thing that's going to happen. It involves the choices that you and I make in our lives. Look at what John says a little bit further in chapter 3. He says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be," I love this, "what we will be has not yet been made known." Okay? "But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him." That is, those who belong to him will be like him. And that's what I'm looking forward to. But again, you see, it depends on the choices that we make every day in our lives. Everyone, he says, who has hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. That requires us to do something, doesn't it? And that's what he's urging us. If we want to be like him, we have this hope of being like him and being with him for all eternity, then we have a responsibility to purify ourselves from the world. That's what he's telling us here. We can't just live like the world lives and then expect or even have a hope of being with him for eternity. And so we go back to, and I remind you of this statement, and I put this up here time after time after time, and I hope this statement gets implanted in your brain that can help you every single day, okay, to realize and to focus. Heaven someday helps me to live for Jesus today. So that as I'm struggling, as I'm facing temptation, and whatever I'm dealing with in my life, that if I can keep that focus, that one day I'm going to be in heaven with Jesus, that can help me to maybe change the decision that I would otherwise make and make a better decision because I want to be with him someday. With this hope of heaven, then we seek to live pure lives for Jesus now. Okay. We cannot live how we want to live now with this little tiny glimmer of hope over here that when I die, that God's going to let me sneak in or squeeze in through the door perhaps. He calls upon us to live pure lives now, so that we can be with him in eternity. And that requires us to live different from the way the world is living. So that brings us to this question that's in the text that was read for us as we began this morning. What kind of people do we need to be? You see, Peter makes it clear that the world that we live in right now is doomed for destruction. And we study that in our study on heaven, that you know all of this that we see is all going to be destroyed and it's going to be made new. Okay? And Peter is warning us and saying, look, all of this is going to be destroyed. Look at what he says, okay? Since everything will be destroyed in this way, and then he asks that question, what kind of people ought you to be? How should you be living, some translations say? And that's talking about our daily life. How should you be living? Well, he says you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. All right? Live holy and godly lives. That's pretty different from the way that the world is, isn't it? And unless we want to be destroyed with the world, we've got to choose to live holy and godly lives. In other words, we've got to choose to be different. We've got to choose to stand out from the crowd. We've got to choose to stand out from the world. Because the world doesn't live that way. We've got to choose to let our light shine. Take it out from under the basket and let it shine so that people can see who we are. And not just who we are, but whose we are. Okay? We need to make sure we don't miss heaven for the world. Look at what Peter says. Let's break this down a little bit. A couple of really important parts here that we need to focus on. He says, you ought to live holy and godly lives as you do what? You look forward to the day of God. In other words, that's something that you and I, as God's children, should be looking forward to. See? Rather than the idea of many in the world and many who claim to be Christians who are saying, yeah, again, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to die right now. You see, I want to live and enjoy this world as much as I can, and then he can come when I'm finished. Now, Peter says we need to be looking forward to the day of the Lord. And not only looking forward to it, but look what he says next. And speed its coming. Say, well, how can we possibly do that? How can we speed the coming of the day of the Lord? Well, I'm convinced that the way that can be done is by us doing what God has told us to do in sharing the gospel message with as many people as we can. Because I'm convinced by what the Bible teaches that the day of the Lord is going to come at the point when only God knows when this will be, when everyone who is going to be saved is saved. You see, the Bible makes it clear that God does not want anyone to perish, but all men to come to repentance, right? Mm-hmm. And so what our job is that God has given us is to share the gospel with everybody that we can. And the more people that we share the gospel with, you see, then the more people are saved, or the more people that decide they don't want to be saved. Again, it's a choice. Our job is not to make them do it. Ours is to preach the gospel, to share it with people, you see. And we speed the point where everyone who's going to be saved has heard the message, and they've either accepted or rejected, and everyone who's going to be saved is saved. And there's no reason then to wait any longer. And so we can speed the day of the Lord's coming by doing what God has told us to do, and that is to preach the gospel. Okay. We're looking forward, as we talked about in that study on heaven, looking forward to that new heaven and that new earth. All of this is going to be gone, and it will be redone. It will be made new. You say, a new heaven, a new earth, for us to exist in for eternity with God. In verse 14, Peter says, "So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this," okay? And my first reaction to that, first listen, is, are you? Are you really looking forward to this happening? Or are you enjoying the world too much? Something to think about, you see. But he says, since you are looking forward to this, look at what he says we need to do. Make every effort. Make every effort. Do everything you can. You see, again, so Christianity is not just a matter of sitting back going, yeah, I believe in God, I'm saved, and so I'm just going to kind of sit here and wait until he comes back again. That's not making every effort. He says we need to make every effort. To do what? To be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. You cannot do that if you're wallowing in the pig pen with the world. So we need to make every effort. And that, again, is determined by the choices that we make. As to what we're going to do and how we're going to live our lives each and every day. And then finally, we need to look at this part of what Peter has to say. You know, we oftentimes think about this particular statement and how the context really determines what this statement is all about, isn't it? Don't get carried away. You ever gotten carried away with something? And usually when we think about this statement, when people say don't get carried away, then it oftentimes, especially in religious connotation, we tend to think about folks like Tim Tebow. You know, people go, why does he have to do that? Isn't that a little bit over the top? You know, he's just always, you know, gets down on his knees now. You know, they call it Tebowing. And, you know, isn't that a little bit too much? And people say, you know what, I wanna have religion and I wanna have a relationship with God, but I don't want to get too carried away with it. But that's one context, one way to look at that statement. But there is a different way. Continue looking at what Peter says, verses 17 and 18. Therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, look at what he says, be on your guard. Why? So that you are not carried away by what? By the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. So he says, you know, we talk about this idea of not being carried away. Paul says, look, or Peter rather says, look, you need to make sure you don't get carried away by error. Don't fall into the trap of listening to what the world is saying. Don't listen to the lies of Satan. And I'm afraid that's what too many quote-unquote Christians are doing today. Look, brothers, we wouldn't have many of the social problems and ills that we have going on in our culture today if it weren't for Christians who have given in to the world. Those things would not be going on. They would not be issues for us like they are. We have an epidemic of sexually transmitted diseases. Why is that? Because people have fallen into the false belief that it's okay to go out and have sex with anybody you want to. You say, it's okay to do that because, well, you know, we got to figure this out, whether we're really compatible, and all these other ridiculous excuses. We don't want to do things God's way and save that for marriage. And look at the problems that we have. 80 to 85% of the people in America say, yes, I believe in God. Why are things like that a problem? Because most of those people are going down the wide road that leads to destruction, even though they are claiming to belong to God. They are living unholy lives in an unholy world, and yet still, when they die, expect to go to heaven. And it cannot be that way. It really does involve the choices that we make in our lives every single day. Heaven really is the prize that is worth waiting for. But if we're going to get there, we've got to make some choices in our lives. And those choices have to do with how we're going to live our life for Jesus every day. So that's what we need to be focusing on, because we live in an unholy world. And the pressures are coming more and more and more against Christians. I personally believe that it's perhaps God's way of thinning out the herds. And what I mean by that is that, you know, if you think about it, Christianity has grown the most in the midst of persecution. But only true Christians, only those who are truly committed to God, are going to be persecuted for Him. The rest are going to go, no, it's not worth it to me. You see, we need to understand the world that we're living in. And we need to understand the importance of the choices that we make and decide whether we're going to live holy lives in this unholy world that we live in. And what we're going to be doing is trying to focus on ways that you and I can do that better in our lives. Now, these guys are ready for us to do an invitation here. I am too. It's about the choices that we make. You've heard me say over and over again this morning. All of us have an opportunity to make choices right now in our life. And what I mean by that is that, you know, most of us here this morning are already Christians. Okay? But that doesn't mean that we're all doing what we need to be doing all the time. I know I don't. Okay? But what we need to know is that as we're striving to be what God wants us to be, as we stumble and we struggle, that we can get help to do better. And that's part of why God brings us together as a family. So that we're struggling with things, especially with sin in our lives, we can come and say, hey, I need some help with this. I'm really struggling. I need prayers. I need encouragement. I need guidance. I need forgiveness. Whatever it is you need. Because that's what we do as family. And so that opportunity is afforded to everyone here this morning. But for those who are here this morning that are not yet Christians, if you've not given your life to Christ, you need to understand that it's a matter of choice. And that choice that you make will determine your eternal destiny. I'm here to tell you right now that if you're not a Christian yet, if you've not given your life to Christ, if you've not been baptized to wash your sins away, you can do that right now. We've got water that's ready back here. Don't we, Chuck? It's nice and warm. Okay, we've got water ready back here. No reason not to. And so if you're not a Christian yet, but you've made the decision that you're ready to become a Christian, then call upon Jesus as your Lord. Repent of the sin that separated you from Him. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. Dale will be in the back, or talk to anybody. If you'd like to have a private prayer or conversation with him, he'll be back there to receive you, and I'll be up front. If anybody would like to come up here. We just want to provide the opportunity for us to encourage one another and help one another to be living our lives for Jesus. Let's stand together.